desire to be the common denominator of success. So, across any different endeavor, enterprise, you have to want to. You have to give an S. Otherwise, it's just not going to be effective. It's going to be a waste of time. You have to want to do it. And this is against the context or backdrop of taking a hard look at the federal bureaucracy, taking a hard look at how many people are on the rolls, but their heart is not in the work, or how many people are receiving a paycheck that maybe are dead, or they're not doing their jobs. This is against the backdrop of Elon Musk sending an email saying, give me five things that you accomplished last week and everything that's come along with that. So I think it's a really interesting thing. And if I were of the mind that I want to make myself bulletproof when it comes to my career potential, my career path, I want to have job security. I don't want to be stressed out that I'm going to be next on the chopping block. And then let's expand that a little bit and say, well, above and beyond just what's going on with the federal government, because odds are you don't work for the federal government. But let's say that you're in an industry that is potentially going to be disrupted by artificial intelligence and the increasing abilities of technology and robots and everything else, which fundamentally is all jobs, all careers, all lines of work are going to be impacted, are going to be impacted. There's going to be an effect. And I only wish that there was somebody, that there were future of work experts who could tell us definitively that if you're doing this, you better start doing that. And I get a kick out of future of work stuff because nobody really knows what the future of work is going to be, just that we know that it's going to be different. We know that we need to be agile. We know that we need to be able to adjust. We know that we need to be able to pivot. I think that those are all the different ways that I can describe being able to be nimble and make changes. So that's really, really important. So how do we do that? How do we position ourselves for success in an ever-changing, unsure environment? And it's easier for a young person, certainly, because we have more energy. They have more energy. They have more tolerance for these things. And as I say that, that's not necessarily true, is it? I think probably on average, that may be true, but certainly there's plenty of people out there in their 40s and 50s and beyond who are extremely energetic and who are happy to pick up a new skill and be able to retool and all that stuff. So how do we position ourselves for success in this ever-changing environment and ever-changing landscape? I think that, like I just said, the common denominator of success is desire. So you have to want to do it. And I also don't think that it's true necessarily that we have an entire generation and now two generations in the workforce that don't want to work, but there are certainly a lot of people who are disillusioned with their work, and certainly a lot of people who went through the traditional path of getting a degree and this, that, and the other thing. And if that's you, I guess my heart goes out to you, but here is the wake-up call and the splash of cold water that really doesn't matter. What we thought was true, it's no longer true. People might apologize to you. We might say, sorry, that's a bummer, but we still have to get ourselves up and dust ourselves off and keep moving forward. That's the only choice that we have. Because nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's going to bail you out. So it's incumbent upon us to figure out what we can do as individuals to bulletproof our career prospects, to ensure that we are valuable, that what we can bring to the table is of use, it's something that it's going to guarantee that we're going to have the ability to work for as long as we want. So understanding what your career is, understanding what matters for your career, that's the first thing that we have to do, is understand, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the most important thing. And then we have to do what matters. There is this wonderful concept that Pareto, the Pareto distribution, the 80-20 rule, talks about how there are a trivial many different tasks that I can choose from on a daily basis. And this is true of what I'm going to give my attention to. It's true of what I'm going to do. There's so many things that are complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. And only a meaningful few. So I challenge everybody. I challenge you. Do you know what the meaningful few things are for your chosen career, for your chosen line of work, for your vocation? Do you understand what those things are, and how well do you do those things? And how often are you doing those things? We need to do a good job of managing and being good stewards of our time, our attention, and our energy. Certainly our money, but our time, our attention, and our energy, especially when it comes to our professional lives, I have to really make sure that I'm maximizing those three things. So taking a look at how you're actually spending your time, how are you actually spending your energy, how are you actually spending your attention, and are you allocating those things to the things that matter or the trivial many? I don't know the answer to that question. I advocate and encourage you to know all about it. So job security isn't that you have tenure. It's not that you're locked into some federal job that you can't get fired. That is, I guess, historically a form of job security, but I don't think it's going to be moving forward. I don't think that we're going to have the ability to rest on our laurels. So if you're somebody who is, and you're just sort of watching the clock, counting down the days, I think that you are positioning yourself for failure, that you could get right-sized without a lot of problem. So we have to become undeniable. We have to become indispensable. And that's what I was talking about with those meaningful few things: to master your craft, to be exceptionally good at what it is that you do, to be a problem solver. So do you understand, again, what those core competencies are, what those meaningful few activities are, and are you the best at them? Can you become the best at them? Let's start by getting better. Let's get serious about it. Get good at it. Become really good at it. Develop and get mastery. And I bet that you're going to become passionate about it. I bet that you're going to really feel good about the work that you're doing at that point. I think we need to be able to take initiative. So we have to go beyond just what our job description is talking about and find new ways to be adding value. I think that we've gotten ourselves into this position with these massive bureaucracies looking at education and healthcare and government and so many different parts of our work today, that there's just so much redundancy and narrowness of focus, and people that have this postage stamp size of, these are the things that I do, and if it falls outside of that, I'm not going to do it. Well, that is not going to help you to become indispensable. So we need to be able to take initiative, look for opportunities where responsibility has been abdicated, and pick it up. We need to keep learning and adapting. Obviously, we need to always be developing new skills. Talking about technology, how well do you understand how technology works in your field? If you're not on top of that, well, then you are behind. There's no doubt about that. I mean, just understanding and going back to the idea of, here are the core areas of what I do. Well, let's look for opportunities to diversify, to cross-train into different areas, to learn about different departments or different initiatives, whatever it might be. I think that the more skills we have, the more valuable we can be in different dimensions or across different areas. I think that that's nothing but a really good thing. I think that from a community standpoint, understanding and embracing your community, and these are the people that outside of your immediate family, you have some kind of a connection to. So obviously, knowing who the main players in your career path, or rather in your industry, are, developing relationships with people within your direct organization and outside of it, just making sure that you're networking. and making sure that you are giving and mentoring others, and that if there's an opportunity for you to have a mentor, have to take advantage of that as well. So also important to toot your own horn, to make sure that you are making accomplishments and then sharing what it is that you're up to. So going back to the idea of give me five things you did last week. Well, okay, here's what I've been up to. Here's things that I'm accomplishing. Here's exciting things that I'm doing. I don't necessarily like the term thought leader, but become a thought leader. Start publishing on LinkedIn. They have a newsletter. They've got all kinds of different ways for us to be publishing these days. And that's just going to enhance your visibility. If you want to be seen as, just because it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, an AI leader within the human resources space, well, then start writing about AI within human resources and do it on a weekly basis. Just do 500 words. That's not a lot. If you write for 5 minutes a day, do 10 minutes a day, just get your ideas down. What's going to happen is when you start writing, you're going to start thinking about what you're thinking about, and your brain's going to start acting on your behalf through your subconscious mind. Your unconscious mind is going to be looking for different opportunities. So I think that that's a pretty simple thing. Always be asking for feedback. I think that I know that when we are inside of the jar, we can't see the label. So when we're just so immersed in doing what it is that we're doing and executing our meaningful few tasks on a daily basis, it's hard for us to look inside and to take an honest assessment and stock of where we are. So asking for feedback, I think, is a really valuable thing. And this is an opportunity for you to go outside of maybe your close network to people who are outside, maybe in different organizations, people that you would like to have as a mentor or other thought leaders, and say, hey, I'm working on this. What would you suggest I do? Or can I get some feedback on this? And that's going to help you develop relationships. People like to be asked for their opinion and their feedback, and you'll be somebody who can ask for and then accept it. And that's a really positive thing. We always have to be ready for the unexpected. That's just a really, 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 really true thing. So I don't know what's going to happen. None of us do. In fact, we all know that we have very little control of the circumstances of our lives, but we have almost complete control over how we think, feel, and respond to the circumstances of our lives. And finally on this, I think that, and then I'm going to transition into talking about the importance of leadership training and development, because I think that it is a really, really important thing. But how easy are you to work with? Are you a joy to work with? Are you a real pleasure to be around? Or are you a pain in the neck? Nobody wants to work with people who are a pain. Be easy to do business with. Be fun to be around. These are not necessarily easy to do, but we just want to be conscious of it. And you set the intention of, I'm a person who's easy to work with. I'm a good member of teams. I'm a good leader, whatever it might be. So getting to the point where the reality is that we're all leaders, whether you think that you are or not, you most certainly are. And fundamentally, you need to be in charge of yourself. So it's personal leadership. You need to be able to lead yourself. You need to be a self-manager. And that's such a wonderful thing. You want to be, if you're an individual contributor, if you are part of a team, whatever it might be, don't rely on somebody else to give you your marching orders or to be checking up on you. Be proactive. Be in charge of yourself. Don't let yourself get to the point where you're needing somebody else to be telling you what to do because you're not doing what you know that you need to be doing. So leadership skills, personal leadership, and then our ability to lead others within our organization is essential for long-term success, regardless of what your role is or what it's going to be in the future, because we really don't know. So developing this mindset of a leadership mindset, and that means we're taking ownership. It means you're embracing responsibility, not running from it. It means you're owning your mistakes, you're solving problems, you're accepting responsibility. Become a better communicator, understanding that expectations make the world go round. Making sure that you are upfront in what you expect from others and that they understand what they can expect from you. Speak clearly, speak confidently, be able to articulate your ideas, stand your ground, make your points, be respectful. That's such a big thing. As you do that, you will develop better problem solving and decision making skills. I think that there are very few people out there who are decisive and able to make good decisions. And that's because people are afraid of making the wrong decision because they don't want to be too far over their skis. They view making a bad decision as dangerous to their career. And it certainly may be, which is why people don't do it. But be a person who is decisive, who in an uncertain environment steps up and makes a good decision. Trust your judgment, trust your intuition, trust your gut. We need to be an emotionally intelligent person as well. Going back to the idea, are you a joy to be around? Are you easy to do business with? Or are you a colossal pain in the behind? You don't want to do that. Understand and be self-aware of the impact that you're having on other people within your organization, outside of the organization. Be empathetic. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Understand what it is that is motivating people and why they're doing what it is that they're doing. Ask them what they're thinking, what they're feeling. Ask them how you could do a better job working together. So there's so many different things and so many different ways that we can take on more responsibility and learning and growing. But leading by example is obviously going to be one of those big things. And keeping your saw sharp. Abraham Lincoln's got that really famous quote that I'm not going to be able to produce for you, but simply put, something along the lines of, if you give me an hour to cut down a tree, I'd spend the first 45 minutes sharpening my saw. So making sure that you are committed to professional development, that you are committed to just becoming the best possible version of you, and don't be afraid to share that because you will be an inspiration and a motivation. The last thing that I want to talk about is you got to have walk-away money. No doubt you're familiar with FU money, but I'm talking about walk away money. I hope you have FU money too. I hope that you get that. But till we get there, first step to getting to FU money is to develop first walk away money. And that simply means that do you have enough cash? Are you in a strong financial position where you could leave the current opportunity or your current role and go on to another one? Because if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you don't have any money, if you're up to your eyeballs in credit card debt, you certainly don't have FU money, and you don't have walkaway money either. So you're sort of beholden to your job. So you are behind the eight ball. You are up against it. You are not in a good position. You are not coming from a position of strength. You are without question coming from a position of weakness. So give you all the job advice in the world and all the career advice in the world and tell you to be a leader. But if you are not financially sound, if you're not financially viable, you are going to be subject to your paycheck. You'll be slave to your paycheck, and that is not a happy place to be. So, how do you do that? Well, first and foremost, talk about my steps to success, which no doubt if you listen to the show, you've heard before, but that's okay. I will go through it again. Step number one is that you take responsibility for all of this. Take personal responsibility for your financial success, just like I want you to take personal responsibility for your career success. So that's step number one. Step number two is get $1,000 saved up. That's the beginning of your emergency fund. That needs to be in an account which is separate from your everyday checking account. So open a savings account at your bank. Stop doing anything until you get $1,000 saved up. Then I want you to start paying yourself first. Okay, so if you're not currently enrolled in your company's 401k, do that, even if it's at 1%. Company doesn't have a 401k, open an IRA, an individual retirement account. Start putting 1% of your salary into that or your compensation into that. So now we're getting into the habit of paying ourselves, which is exactly what you should do. Got to put yourself first, then everybody else. Put your family's needs, your loved ones' needs, your needs ahead of everybody else's. Step number three is get 1 month's worth of your expenses saved up. Okay, it's going to be a lot of money. Totally get it. Can take you a long time, but this demands that you have a good understanding of your cash flow, how much money is coming out, how much is going in, and what your budget is. You have to keep a personal household budget. These are essential things. That's going to teach you a lot. So, however long it takes you to get 1 month saved up, that's the next step. And once you've done that, if you're in credit card debt, the next step is to aggressively pay off your credit card debt. You got to do that. Credit card debt is one of the most sinister, nefarious things in our culture today. It's the killer of dreams. It keeps us stuck in dead-end jobs. And that's expressly what we want to avoid here. So, however long it takes you to put a plan together, pay off your credit card debt, it could take you a couple of years, but it's worth it. And then next from there, once you get to 2 months worth of your expenses saved up, then three, then four, then five, finally six. And I know how easy those words leave my mouth. I also know how hard it is to do that. And I know it's a lot of money. But once you've done that, what's going to happen? So many wonderful things. The tension's going to come out of your shoulders. You're going to take that deep breath. What will you do? What will you have done? Where will you be? Well, I believe that you have found financial security and financial peace of mind. And you've also developed that walk away money. Think about it. You've paid off your credit card debt. You've been saving for yourself and your family, and you've got 6 months worth of cash. You can tell your boss to go F off if you need to. It's going to give you more freedom to do all of the things that I've just been talking about. So don't forget about this part of it. It's so important, so critical. And fundamentally, it's like everything else. There's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success and your career success. So it is important that you, dear friend, act accordingly.